Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus, full of the divine Spirit of God, reads his purpose and reason for being from these words of Isaiah. God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, freedom to those held captive, sight to the blind, and liberty to the oppressed, and to announce to them the acceptable time of God. In other words, for those who are poor, or in captivity, or unenlightened, or oppressed, God has determined enough is enough. The acceptable time of God has come and is now. That is good news, is it not? And yet, the acceptable time of God has to be received and surrendered to in hope, in faith, and in truth. The acceptable time of God has to be received with hope, with faith, and with truth. And why truth? Because we seldom perceive ourselves for who we truly are, a perfectly imperfect people. Until we accept our insufficiency, our impoverishment before God, and know that we're loved anyway, we are unable to receive the good news that God is for us and that we are created to become the good news of Christ for the rest of the world, for each other, and thereby fulfill our ultimate purpose and reason for being. You see, one of the biggest lies that our current paradigm of reality says to us is that we are separate from God, and that this separation guarantees our separation from each other. Let me say that another way. The thing we currently believe is true about life, regardless of what we say, the way we act, says that we believe that they are they and we are us, and neither the twain shall meet. And it's not hard to tell where that kind of thinking has gotten us. Just look at the headlines. Democrats versus Republicans, and Republicans versus Democrats, and vaxxers against anti-vaxxers, and maskers versus anti-maskers, the rich versus the poor, and the quintessential divide in this United States of America, whites versus blacks and other peoples of color. And we so believe in these kinds of separations that we've created names for them. We call them races. We live by them as if they're our gods. We literally worship them. This reality that we have foolishly created, all of us, will not hold. It's not holding now, and it won't hold in the future. It is unsustainable. As Dr. King once famously stated, we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. But have you ever stopped to think how we just may be the poor? Insufficient to ourselves, constantly needing external validation from other people, family, friends, co-workers? Have you ever stopped to think how we are the ones held captive by our constant needs to consume? We're the most consuming nation. Our civilization, Western society, consumes 80% of the resources of the globe. We are always buying the latest, the newest, the best, the whatever. Have you ever stopped to think that we're the ones who are unenlightened, unenlightened to the goodness of God right at the center of it all. Or that we're the oppressed, weighted down by addictions, whether they be drugs or alcohol or porn or sex or food, or codependence on another person. And if we are not all these things, does that mean that Jesus doesn't have a good news for us? Does that mean that there's no season when we are to know the favor of God and life? Listen, if Jesus' words are for those commonly called the disenfranchised and the marginalized, and we don't label ourselves either way, does that mean that we won't know the acceptable time of God? What I mean by that is a time of peace without fear, contentment and satisfaction without always wanting to need, enlightenment without darkness, and wealth for all and poverty for none. Can we not know this time of God? We can, if and when we admit our insufficiency, our vulnerability, our inadequacy, and understand that we are just like everybody else. We must admit that our human condition cannot be fixed with the tools we try to use it, that we're all impoverished. We're all in need of the Spirit of God. We're all in need of the mercy of God. I told the congregation this morning, anything that you drank, be it coffee, milk, or tea, or orange juice, anything that you ate before you came here, listen, that bacon, you did not go out and slaughter that hog. We have to live as if everybody matters. We have to. We in the church has missed the mark in this season because of our inability to be one with the other and thereby understand the words, Emmanuel, God with us. The only way we can know God with us is through the other. And it doesn't matter what the other looks like, thinks like, speaks like, smells like. Doesn't matter. Our inability to walk in another's shoes, no matter the gravel, dirt, and broken glass of life in them, is based in our inability to experience the other as us. We like to think we believe that the other is us, but ask us to give up something and see when that changes. Y'all, we are desperately in need of a spirituality of imperfection. We have to understand we're not as powerful as we think we are. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have it all together, and that's okay. Throughout our lives, we've been raised to be a certain way, a perfect way, instead of to be ourselves, a unique, imperfect self. And that person, that unique, imperfect self, is loved by God, regardless of what our kith or kin say. And trust me, we all suffer from this collective unconsciousness. Nevertheless, the living word of God gives us hope. And just like the hope of the exile, the people who were returning from exile in Nehemiah, that hope is available to us. It is the Spirit that's available to fill us up like it filled Jesus up, if we can receive it. But I must offer you a word of caution, because I'm telling you, when the Spirit gets a hold of you, there's going to be uncertainty, and there's going to be some fear, and there's certainly going to be a whole lot of discomfort, because we're being invited to shift into a new way of thinking. But God is the bottom. We're not going to fall through. If we just go with it, consciously surrender feelings, thoughts, emotions, whatever we have to, just let it go, surrender it, and let it be transformed by the Spirit of God, and let us be set free. Because at the end of the day, only God, only wholeness is good medicine. Y'all, we ought not to be afraid of our imperfections or our failures, because they signify our humanity and how much we need God. And God only shows up in the other person. Christ Jesus has already been there, and he's fixed it so that we are lovely and loved regardless of how many cracks are in our mold. Hear a story. Once upon a time, a woman named Chang Chang worked for a merchant in Sichuan province. The merchant's home was high atop a hill, and Chang Chang worked as the merchant's laundress. Every day, she had to walk down the hill to collect water from the stream. When she was young, Chang Chang made two pots to carry her water, and she hung them on a pole so that she could carry it over her shoulders. And she painted one pot blue and the other one red, and she painted flowers on them because she loved flowers and she loved her pots. For some years, she carried her pole down the hillside and collected water, and afterwards she climbed the hill. And she was strong and able, and over time she started to get older. And as time passed, the pots got older too. One day, as Chang Chang prepared to place the pole over her shoulder, she noticed the blue pot had a crack along its side. And she ran her finger over the crack and she said, "My poor little pot." For a few moments, Chang Chang studied the crack and she whispered, "Will you hold my water?" She decided she could still use the pot, so she carried both pots down the hill and filled them up to the brim with water. But by the time she reached the top of the hill, the pot with the crack was half empty. This still left her plenty of water for doing her laundry, though, so she didn't worry about it. For the next 2 years, she carried those pots down the hillside every morning, filled the pots up to the brim with water, walked back up the hill with her pole across her shoulders, and by the time she reached the house, the cracked blue pot was half full. Always enough for laundry, though. Each day, Chang Chang examined the crack, and though it was growing a little longer, she decided it's okay. What she didn't notice, though, was that the poor blue pot was miserable. Each time it drank from the stream, it secretly hoped that this day, all the water would stay inside its belly. But each day, when they reached the top of the hill, the pot knew it had failed. The blue pot glanced at the red pot and saw water filled to the top, and the blue pot began to feel desolate. In its resting place on the far side of Chang Chang's little hut, the blue pot worried and wept. I'm no good, the blue pot wailed. "Stop your whining," the red pot answered. "No one wants to hear from a pot." But one day, the blue pot felt its crack expanding, and it was certain Chang Chang was gonna throw it away. Soon it would be no use to anybody. And so that next morning, as Chang Chang climbed the hill, she was startled to hear a voice she had never heard. "Chang Chang, throw me away. I'm no good for anybody or anything." She stopped as she listened. "Hello?" "I'm right here," said the blue pot, swinging this way and that way to get her attention. "I'm your pot, the pot you made with your own two hands. And the crack on my side has made me useless. When you carry me up the hill, I spill half the water. I'm no good." For a long moment, Chang Chang stood very still. "Are you speaking to me, dear pot?" "It is I," the pot said. "I'm so sorry I failed you, but I have." But Chang Chang was so happy because she knew that her pots were as full of life as she had always imagined. But she was sad to hear these sorrowful words from her pot. She said, but pot, you don't understand. You haven't been paying attention. Look around." Chang Chang pointed to the path beside them, the path up the hill. And for the first time, the pot stopped looking inward and started looking outward. And on the right side of the hill, the pot noticed beautiful flowers growing in abundance. A ribbon of color edged the path, poppies and peonies and chrysanthemums and narcissus and citron. And look at the other side of the hill, Chang Chang said. The pot glanced to the other side and saw it was bare. I've always known about your flaw, Chang Chang said. So I planted seeds on your side of the path, and every day you water them and add more beauty to the world. The blue pot was overjoyed. All the sadness was gone. It understood, just as Chang Chang always had, that every being has its unique flaws. May God grant us the blessing of knowing our own poverty, our own oppression, our own enslavement, our own addictions, so that we might know the blessedness of being one with God, of being transformed into Christ, and see God's kingdom come. Amen.